This is Sheila O'Reilly on CFRU here at the University of Guelph, and today I'm really excited to be talking to Myra Melford about her upcoming solo piano concert on Sunday, November 28th at the Guelph Youth Music Center. This performance, one of only two that Myra is doing in Ontario, is a special off-season fundraising concert for the Guelph Jazz Festival. Myra, welcome to CFRU.
Thank you so much.
I had the opportunity of seeing you in an astonishing solo concert performance in 1997, and you've been here in various other musical contexts. So how are you feeling about coming back to Guelph?
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. There's a very special community in Guelph. I feel like I'm coming back as a friend.
Good.
And I really appreciate that. All of the experiences that I've had playing in Guelph have been really fun and always had this sense of being welcomed, and there's a wonderful informal and yet very respectful way that I feel like I'm treated as an artist, and I'm sure that's true of other artists who play in Guelph, and that makes it very special.
Oh, that's great to hear. That's great. Myra, you've been known to Guelph audiences as both an improviser and composer.
Uh-huh.
Can you give us some hints as to what we might expect on Sunday?
Well, it'll be a combination. I'll perform a combination of some of my compositions as well as some compositions by friends of mine who I've been playing with recently. I'll probably play a piece by Jenny Scheinman, who's a great violinist and composer who I've been working with lately, and am on her Shalagaster record, which came out on Zodic last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll play a piece probably probably because sometimes I'll change my mind either in the middle of the show or right before I go on, but
okay.
It's in my repertoire in any case. A piece by Marty Ehrlich called Him, which he wrote right after the events of 9/11, which is a really, really fun piece to play. This is music that I play normally in groups or in duo with either Jenny or Marty, but they're pieces that lend themselves to playing solo as well.
Okay.
Probably the rest will be my music, and all of the music, as you know, will have a lot of improvisation in it as well.
Mm. As I said, this is the second time you're performing solo for us. The first, you were opening for Randy Westman.
That's right.
In 1997. But do you often perform solo?
Well, you know, often in seasons or periods. I'm doing a lot of solo concerts this fall, which has been really fun. I've
mm-hmm.
performed a solo concert. You know, I just joined the faculty of the University of California in Berkeley this semester.
Okay.
And so I played a solo concert here last month. And then I went to Europe and did a short solo tour of solo concerts, which is really kind of a first for me. I've gone over to play single festivals and that kind of thing, but it was the first time that I was, you know, traveling around for a week playing solo concerts everywhere, and that was really fun.
Yes.
So this, I'm looking forward to another chance to play this music so soon after that tour. But I would say, you know, then other times, you know, I'll do a lot more work with bands and things like that. So it's actually a really wonderful treat for me to perform solo.
Good, good. Do you have any recordings?
I don't have any solo recordings.
Okay.
And I'm really feeling like, especially after this last tour, you know, it's always good to be able to offer music that you've performed when, you know, on a CD.
Solo, yeah.
But I really feel that it's, you know, it's really time, that it's overdue in a sense, that I make a solo record. So
good.
That'll be a project that I'd like to do in the near future.
I understand, Myra, that you've recently spent time in India studying Indian classical music and the harmonium.
Right.
So this raises two questions. One, will you be playing harmonium on Sunday?
I won't bring my harmonium on this tour, as I haven't really figured out a way to perform solo on it.
Okay.
It's basically I play it with only one hand. One hand, with the left hand, I have to pump
mm-hmm.
the bellows.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of limitations with it, and I found some really fun ways to use it in in ensemble context, but not haven't okay. really worked that out solo yet. So I'll just be playing the piano.
Okay. Well, that would be lovely.
Thank you.
Can you tell me how your studies in India have influenced your music? And I'm thinking here specifically in terms of your improvisation and your composition.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm just in the middle of writing a new set of music for my quintet, and it's a commission from Chamber Music America has a program where they support jazz composers who have ongoing ensembles to write new music for those ensembles. And I put in the application a good 2 years ago at this point, and I requested that I wanted to, or submitted a proposal to write music that was influenced by my experiences in India.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think right after I put in the application, I wrote a whole bunch of new music that was influenced by my experience in India and got on with it. And then a few months later, which will be available early spring on Arabesque.
Okay. Most
of that music is written for quartet, and it will be coming out in February on the Arabesque label.
Who will you be playing with?
That has features two different sort of lead melodic voices with the same rhythm section. So Kung Vu, who's a great trumpet player and composer in his own right, and who I know has actually also played in Guelph.
He has. That's
right. He's on half the record, and Brandon Ross, a great guitarist and also composer, is on the other half. Brandon plays banjo on the record as well. I found that was a great instrument to pair with the harmonium.
Mm-hmm.
But and then the rhythm section consists of myself and Stomu Takeishi on bass and Elliot Cavey on drums.
Okay.
And Elliot, as you may know, has been working a lot with Henry Threadgill in recent years.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, so I guess but this is a long way around to the answer to answer your question. So I felt like I was experiencing the influence more as a writer. And not, you know, it was never my intention to master Indian music, even if I could, you know, in this lifetime. But to just really work more on an intuitive level once I got to the creative process, just to see how has that experience influenced the way I'm writing right now, the way I'm thinking about music. And I think the main thing that I noticed so far is that there's, you know, I experienced two things in modern-day India. One is this incredible cacophony and chaos by American standards that is just part of everyday life on the street, that the way the traffic patterns work, the multitude of humanity that you, you know, experience in a very small quarters, especially in Calcutta.
Yeah, the
every
volume.
Walk of love, life, rather. And yet there's, you know, you can walk into a temple and experience this incredible, very ancient kind of peace. Yeah. So I think the music, I'm finding that there, that there are many layers going on, even within one piece of a composition of music that you, that draws on all of those things, a kind of simplicity. A lot of their music is takes place over a drone, so it doesn't have harmony in the Western sense. And I was certainly employing that more. So I guess it was, you know, juxtaposing a lot of new things. Now I would say, now that I'm writing another set of music that's sort of based on the same experience, I'm finding that my piano playing has changed a lot and my harmonium playing has changed a lot. I certainly learned about a lot about technique, harmonium technique, while I was there. That was one of the main things that I wanted to study. And my harmonium playing, I feel, has grown a lot, and I've found new ways to get around on the instrument. But what's interesting is I'm now also using those same techniques on the piano. And it's sort of an approximation of, in parts, of the kind of embellishments that you hear in Indian music, which are very hard, rather impossible to reproduce on a well-tempered instrument, because so much of them are based on sliding in between the pitches and hearing all those microtones. And yet, just the attempt of trying to imitate those creates a new sound and a new way of playing that I'm now, transferring to the piano a lot.
Lastly, Myra, and you may have answered this, but I'm interested in recent projects you're working on. Do you have any you can tell our listeners about?
Yeah, well, I guess I've mentioned a couple. One is this new quartet, which is called Be Bread, that features these two different soloists, so to speak, which is coming out soon. And then this new music that I'm writing for my quintet, which will be premiered in New York on December 14th and 15th at the Jazz Standard, which is a jazz club in the city. And then on the sort of next up behind these projects is I'm writing and going to also be performing in a, writing the score for and performing in a multimedia piece that features Buto dancers.
Wonderful.
Music that I'll be writing that will, you know, sort of my standard notation and improvised music, but I'm also developing a computer program with Max MSP so that there'll be a way for the musicians and dancers to interact with a more ambient kind of sound installation component to the score. And I've just received a grant from the University of California to develop that with at their Center for New Music and Audio Technology next semester.
Wow, that sounds wonderful. You've recently moved to California, haven't you?
Right.
From New York. And was it to be at the university?
Yes. I know for a long time, the last 15 years or so, I was teaching at a prep school in New York and really enjoyed it. It was a great job for many years. But I started to feel like if I'm going to keep teaching, which seems to be, you know, an important part of how I support myself and my musical world, that it would be great to work with older students, aspiring professionals, and so on. And this job opened up out here, and it really felt like it would be a good fit and worth giving up living in New York for a while, or maybe permanently, to see if it's going to be, you know, the right thing. It is a tenure-track position, so there's a lot of room for it to grow and be something that I do for many years. And basically, I'm teaching, I was invited to teach in and sort of more advanced jazz theory from any perspective that I wanted to. And I'm taking, at least at this point, I'm taking the stance of looking at composer performers in contemporary improvised-based musics and how unique and individual everybody's composing is and approaches to improvisation and what it takes to be a performer of this music. How would I play on Marty Ehrlich's music or Jenny Scheinman's music? How would I ask them to play my music? Because people are developing what can be highly personal ways of writing and asking people to improvise, and it requires requires unique skills on the part of the improvisers who are asked to perform the music. And so that's kind of what I'm looking at with my students this semester, at least.
We're very much looking forward to your concert here on Sunday.
Thank you. I am too.
Oh, okay. That's wonderful. And I want to thank you so much for allowing us the time.